Well, today we're continuing our series entitled Picture Perfect, where we invite Jesus to help us see our life and our relationships through his eyes and not our own. And today I want to zone in on an area of our life where our best intentions sometimes aren't reflected in reality. And it's in the area of communication. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you say something, but what's said is misunderstood, or what you actually said wasn't what you meant? Often what happens in our life and in our relationships is we make our best attempts to communicate, but at the end of the day, what happens is people are frustrated, feelings are hurt, there's more disconnection than when you made the attempt to connect through communication. And I wonder if God has something better to say to us about how we communicate with one another, with the people he's put in our life and the people he expects us to treat with kindness and respect. And so if you find yourself in a place where you feel like your communication hasn't been what you want it to be, I want you to know that there's hope. Because even though our relationships are imperfect sometimes, God has the picture-perfect plan for us in the area of communication. And if there's one thing that I want you to leave with today, it's simply this. It's an encouragement from Jesus. It is for us to communicate, to connect. To communicate with the outcome being connection. You see, many of us, we believe that communication is just about getting our message out. But I believe that connection, when communication is expressed at its very best, it's not just about getting our message out, it's about getting through to the other person. And this is what Jesus demonstrates in his own life. He came from heaven, he became a human, because he wanted to communicate to us his love, and ultimately he wanted to connect. And so today I want to invite you to join me in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. While you're turning there, let me set the scene where we're at in the story of the life of Jesus. At this point, Jesus is 12 years old. Now keep in mind, he's 12. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, they head to Jerusalem for a festival called Passover, where the nation of Israel celebrates how God set the nation of Israel free from slavery in Egypt. After Passover, Mary and Joseph start heading back to their hometown of Nazareth. And one day in, they have a conversation, finally, and they realize that they don't have Jesus. Mary thought that Jesus was with Joseph, and Joseph thought that Jesus was with Mary, but Jesus was nowhere to be found. So what do? They go back one whole day, back to Jerusalem, and then they spend the next 3 days looking for Jesus. They lost Jesus, guys. And they spent 5 days looking for him. So, if you parents are feeling a little bit of lingering regret about leaving your kids somewhere for 15 minutes, or maybe you're still in recovery, in therapy, because your parents left you somewhere decades ago, just know you're in great company because they left Jesus behind. Wow. As we step into these next two verses, we discover that they find him in the temple, which that's where they should find Jesus, is in the house of God. So I invite you, Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, let's read together. After 3 days, they, speaking of Mary and Joseph, found him in the temple courts. Pay attention to the verbs, because there's some wisdom in the actions of Jesus. Sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him were what? Amazed. They were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Even at 12 years old, he is teaching us, and he was teaching the teachers of the law. He was giving them a master class, because he is the master in communication. And I want you to notice the four ways Jesus communicates to these teachers of the law. Here are four ways to talk like Jesus from this passage. Number one, sit, listen, ask, answer. Sit, listen, ask, answer. I want to invite you to say it with me. Sit, listen, ask, and answer. Now, some of you may be saying, but Pastor John, I know Jesus talked to them at the very beginning, but these first two steps, Jesus isn't talking at all. And you're right. But in this moment, Jesus decided that he wanted his actions to speak louder than his words. And what we learn from the life of Jesus in this moment is that this is a principle of communication. We need to remember this. We are always communicating. There's never not a moment we're communicating. We're always communicating. Now, sometimes the way we communicate help us move forward in our relationships, but sometimes the way we communicate don't help us at all. Let me give you some examples. If when my wife is talking to me, I roll my eyes, am I communicating? Is that gonna help my marriage?
No.
Guys, it's not a pro tip, all right? If I yell at my kids, am I communicating?
Yes.
Is that gonna help them feel like they can trust me? No. If I send an angry email to a coworker, am I communicating?
Yes.
Is it helping me build relational rapport and leadership influence with that employee?
No.
In the same way, we need to upgrade our priority. It's not just about communicating, it's about connecting. Someone said this, and it's a principle, another principle of communication. Everyone communicates, but few connect. And I believe that God is challenging us to be in that latter few who are willing to communicate for the purpose of connecting. Now, well, let me give you a quick overview of these four ways to talk like Jesus, the four ways he communicated in this moment. Jesus sat down because he wanted to show to them a desire for connection and relationship. Keep in mind, he's a 12-year-old boy. He's among religious leaders, the Pharisees, who had a hard time listening to people. What he does is he sits because he wants to relate with them. In fact, I want to share with you that whenever there's a conflictual moment, be willing to sit down. They found in the world of medicine that patients feel more comfortable when their doctor sits down. And I would say this, if things are starting to get contentious in a relationship, be willing to sit down. It'll lower the temperature of the conversation. Number two, he listened. Why? Because he was committed to showing respect to them. He understood that even at the age of 12, he still needed to show respect to the Pharisees, even though they sometimes weren't respectable. Why? Because he's teaching us how we need to interact with others. That it doesn't matter how they act. What really matters to God is how we act and how we respond. Number three, he asked questions. Why? To show interest and curiosity. And after Jesus did these three, he was able to answer with wisdom, with clarity, and with profound understanding. You see in verse 46, it says that they marveled at his understanding and his answers. Jesus understood that if he does these first three, then he's able to answer and people are able to listen. So with that in mind, I want to share with you a few ways to communicate like Jesus. Number one, to communicate like Jesus, think relationships first, results second. Say it with me. Relationships first, results second. Great communicators realize that the priority is the relationship and the results follow. They understand that preserving the relationship is what allows for communication to move forward. Yes, they're going to share content, but there has to be psychological and emotional and relational safety. And connection is the thing that does that. Jesus understood that he needed to connect before he could communicate. Because sometimes we live in a world where people are all about communicating, giving you or other people a piece of their mind instead of sharing their heart. And I believe that Jesus is inviting us to do something different. If we don't care about how we communicate, we'll say things however we want to say it. And we see that if you go on someone's social media account and you just look at the comments, there are people offering criticism and feedback that aren't helpful. But when we choose for connection to be the priority, it changes how we communicate. One way to think about it when it comes to communication is that communication is like a game of catch. You talk, they listen. They talk, you listen. And I want to invite some guys to come out here to help illustrate this idea of communication as a game of catch. In a game of catch, there are some unspoken rules. And the unspoken rules are simply this, that each person is committed to the process, that each person is going to pass the ball in a way that the other person can catch the ball. And what happens is that if for some reason someone violates those unspoken rules too many times, the game of catch is over. If someone throws the ball over someone's head, the game is over. If someone underthrows the ball too many times, the game is over. If someone throws it to the side, the game is over. And if someone throws it way too hard, the game is over. In the same way, when we communicate, what we need to understand is that how we communicate determines whether someone stays in the conversation or not. If we talk over someone's head, or we talk down to someone, or when we're talking about something important, someone in that relationship diverts the conversation away from the topic at hand, then the communication falls apart. And if someone expresses anger, like throwing the ball way too hard, the other person cannot receive what is coming towards them. Because suddenly when the ball or the words come at a person way too hot, what happens is they end up pushing away because they're more focused on protecting themselves than advancing the conversation. But just like in a game of catch, when both people are committed to the process and to communicate with one another, then the process can move forward. Thank you, guys. In life, here it is. In life and in marriage, you can either be right or married. You can be right or married, not both. In business, you can be right and hold on to your position, or you can be employed, not both. I think God's inviting us to think relationship first and results second, because if we commit to the relationship, then the results will show up. Here's a couple ways to value and steward the relationships that you're a part of. Number one, create a safe space for conversations. When people know that they're cared for and that you're committed to them and their future, and you are committed to that emotional, relational, psychological safety, you can tell the truth and they'll hear you. It may be hard, but they'll stay open to receive it, because we're sharing the truth in love. The second way for us to think relationships first and results second is to start with the heart. We have to decide ahead of time. How are we gonna show up in this conversation? If our point is to get our point across, then our heart is misaligned. But if we decide, I want to share with them what's on my heart, but I wanna stay connected to them, then what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna make sure my intentions are reflected in my actions. The third way is to practice your message ahead of time. They tell us as pastors to practice what we preach. I wanna encourage you to practice what you wanna share with someone else, especially if it's an important conversation, practice it ahead of time so you don't betray yourself by saying something that you didn't mean to say. Plan it ahead of time. If you're willing to do that, it'll go from your head to your heart, and then the Holy Spirit can take what you say and he can share it with them in a way that they can receive it. This is one of the reasons why we're hosting a live stream conference in the next couple of weeks called Blended and Blessed. This is for blended families. We want to see your family win. We understand that there are unique complexities to all of the relationships in a blended family, but we believe that God has wisdom to help you advance in your relationships and in your blended family. And we as a church, we're committed to seeing you win. And so I want to invite you to register, be a part of this. And I believe that if you make the commitment to be a part of this, that God is going to advance your family in the next season that he has for you. Number two, to communicate like Jesus, talk less, listen more. Say it with me. Talk less, listen more. We need to talk less and listen more. In the era of social media, listening is a lost art. Everybody has a platform, everybody has opinion, everybody wants to be heard, but no one wants to listen. Jesus, he did the opposite. He chose to listen so that people could speak. He wanted to communicate to them, I hear you, I value you, and I want you to engage with me. Because he understood that it was more important at the very beginning to understand rather than being understood. In the same way, we need to be that way in our relationships. Now, husbands, listening is something we need to work on. Now, some of us really need to work on it. Now, you may be great at listening to your spouse, but for me, I have to work at it, because there's moments in conversation when my wife is talking to me that I realize I am not listening. Because my wife will say, what do you think about that? I'll say, what? And she said, I just said it. I say, well, tell me again. I realize that I'm not listening. Or there's another moment when we're having a conversation. I say, well, what are we doing with this? Or what's the next step with that? And she'll say, we've already had a conversation about that. I'm like, really? We did? I said, what did we decide? Remind me. I need her to remind me. So here's what I need. As your pastor, I need you to pray for my wife that she would have grace for me and that God would help me listen better. Same is true in our parenting. Sometimes as parents, we're so focused on getting our point across that we don't listen to our kids and students. Because often they'll say, but you're not listening to me. Listening doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It just means you're willing to hear them out. People don't need their way sometimes. They just need to know that they can express what they're thinking. And I think we need to listen so that other people can speak. We need to create space in our relationships where people can listen. And listening is an active process. It requires full attention. We have to be fully dialed in. Someone told me this in their place of business. When they're in a meeting, they say, be here now. And what they're telling their employees is, be fully present in this moment. Listening is not something we can do halfway. We have to be fully dialed in. It's called active listening for a reason. We need to be dialed in. We need to listen with our ears and our eyes. Because when we are listening with our ears but not with our eyes, we're basically telling the person that what they're saying doesn't matter. I tell my wife this all the time. If you don't have my eyes, you don't have my attention, okay? So make sure this is happening so that I understand what you're saying. And the same is true, parents. If your kids are not looking at you, they're looking at their phone, they are not listening to you. You need to say, hey, eyes up, look at me, right? Look and listen, Linda, look and listen. Number three, repeat what you heard, right? When you repeat back what you heard, you're telling them, I understand what you're saying. And number four, whatever someone says to you that's important, write it down. Why? Because I know you think you have a great memory, but I'm here to tell you, your brain is lying to you. You're not gonna remember it. Someone said this, the dullest pencil is brighter than the sharpest memory. We need to write it down so we can remember. More importantly, when we listen, it creates space for God to speak to us in the middle of a conversation. God needs white space to speak to us. You see, when I'm talking to someone, the most important conversation isn't the conversation that I'm having with the other person. It's the conversation that God wants to have with me about how I'm showing up in the conversation. You see, God wants to speak to us and speak through us. He also wants to speak to us about what we should say and not say, what we should do and not do, what attitude we should show and not show. And all of us know that moment when you're right in the middle of a conversation and you're frustrated and you're about to say something and God says, don't say that. And you say it anyways. Does that ever work out? No, it doesn't. Here it is. If we're willing to create space and prioritize our vertical relationship with God and let him talk to us, he'll help us solve our horizontal relationships. And here's what I've discovered. When we're willing to listen to him, he'll reveal to us what's in his heart for us, what's in his heart for the situation, and what's in his heart for them as well. So, Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says this, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Here's the reality. God knows what you need to know. God knows what they are thinking about. And when you invite the Holy Spirit in to speak to you, what happens is he gives you the things that need to be said and the things that need to be understood. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who can give us visibility and understanding when it comes to the unsearchable things we don't know yet. But here's the thing. God isn't going to shout over us. In fact, he whispers in a still small voice like he did to Elijah. Let's talk less and listen more so the Holy Spirit will speak. Number three, to communicate like Jesus, be curious, not critical. Say it with me. Be curious, not critical. Curiosity may kill the cat, but it'll save your relationships. Often, our first impulse is to be critical. I'm here to share with you that criticism is easy for us to deliver, but it's hard for the other person to receive. It puts them on the defensive. They can't open their heart because they feel like they're being attacked. So instead of being critical, ask questions. Now, I'm here to tell you that not all questions are curiosity. Some questions are criticism. Curiosity is not saying, why are you the way you are? It's not saying, were you born under a rock? It's definitely not saying, how could you be so dumb? Those are not curiosity. Those are criticism put in the form of a question. Instead, curiosity is saying, hey, help me understand what you're thinking right now. Curiosity is saying, I don't understand why that happened. Curiosity is saying, I know we agreed that the trash was going to be taken out. Why wasn't it taken out? Help me understand. Or saying to your kids, what prevented you from cleaning your room? This is how we are curious. What I've discovered is that curiosity will save your relationship, and it'll save you from the embarrassment of not knowing. Assuming is something that'll make you trip up in your relationship, but when you ask questions, you're getting clarity. You're getting understanding. Jesus was a master of questions. In fact, when we look at the Gospels, what we'll notice is that Jesus asked 339 questions. Now, the reality is he didn't have to ask questions because we know that God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. And even though he knew everything that was in the heart of other people, he was still willing to ask questions. Why? Because he understood that if he just spoke, they might not listen. But if he asked questions, it creates engagement. It's a way he started conversations. It's a way that he invited people to challenge their thinking. It's a way that he pulled people into God's preferred future, was through questions. And I'm here to share with us, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Jesus was a great communicator, and great communicators ask great questions. Fourth and finally, to communicate like Jesus, realize that connecting gives us the privilege to speak. Jesus, he wanted to connect. He wanted to communicate. And so what did he do with the teachers of the law? He sat, he listened, and he asked questions. And because he was willing to do all that, the teachers of the law were willing to listen to him. Here's what I believe. If your relationship is broken, maybe in your marriage, maybe with your children, maybe with a coworker, if you're willing to understand, eventually it will give you the permission and the perspective and the ability to answer. And I believe this is the transformation that God wants to do. I think there's some relationships he wants to restore today. But we have to be willing to say, God, I commit to that. I'm willing to allow you to transform how I communicate, because I want you to transform how I connect. And so today, as I close, I want to invite you to stand with me. And I'll share with you what's on my heart. I believe the burden of God's heart for you is simply this. He wants your relationships to reflect the union that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have together. They're in one accord. They're connected to one another. They communicate effectively. And I believe that as we sit, listen, and ask questions, then when we respond, we actually reflect how the three persons of the Godhead speak to one another. And so if you find yourself in a broken marriage, maybe a fractured family relationship, maybe in a contentious conversation with a boss or coworker, or maybe you're a young adult just trying to make it through life, I believe that if we commit to connect, God will anoint and empower our communication. And so today I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to pray right now that God would anoint your life and your lips, that he anoint your words and your ways, so that you can effectively reflect Jesus in all of the relationships that he's put around you. Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, you know that we are imperfect people. And sometimes what we say and we do betray our intentions. We have the best of intentions, but our actions get in the way. I pray, Lord, right now that you would put your anointing upon your people, that you, Holy Spirit, would come and hover close, that you would remind your people in the days and weeks to come, that you'd remind them that if they're willing to sit, listen, and ask questions, that you'll restore broken relationships. I pray for every broken heart right now, every person that is going through a separation, every couple that is in a fractured state, God, that they'll commit to, number one, listening to you and being willing to follow these steps. And if they do, God, you're gonna prove yourself faithful in their relationships. I pray for broken families. You'd bring them back together again. And I pray, Lord, you just give your favor to every employee that's dealing with a difficult coworker or boss. Give them the capacity to share your heart and to align with your will. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. I wanna say thank you for joining us today. I wanna invite you to come back next weekend. We're gonna continue our Picture Perfect series. I'm gonna be talking about healthy and biblical conflict resolution. God bless you, and we're dismissed.